The Market Dump Truck. Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California. From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Good to have you along this morning as we continue with Fallout, our special coverage of the global financial crisis. Markets around the world are deep in the red. Selling is escalating as worries about credit reach a new level. Part of that reality this morning is an announcement from the British government. It's creating a rescue package for banks. The plan will help support several big names you probably recognize, HSBC, Barclays, and Royal Bank of Scotland among them. Our European correspondent Stephen Beard joins us now from London. Stephen, how is this going to work?
This is a big and very complicated package, but the main part of it is an offer by the government to put in up to $90 billion of taxpayers' cash into the British banking system. So banks can apply for this cash, and in return for some of the cash, they would hand over preferred shares to the government. So the British taxpayer will get a substantial stake in the banks. This is the part nationalization of the British banking system.
So some clear differences between this and the U.S. Henry Paulson bailout.
Yes, unlike the Paulson plan, this isn't the government buying up the toxic assets. This is the government stepping in and, with the backing of the taxpayer, becoming a part owner of some of the country's biggest banks. Now, this isn't outright nationalization. They're not taking control over the day-to-day running of any of these banks, but there are going to be some strings attached. Those banks that do take part in this scheme will have restrictions on bank executives' pay and restrictions on dividends, for example.
How unusual is a move like this, given the circumstances?
Well, the British government has already nationalised two big mortgage lenders, Bradford & Bingley and Northern Rock. But this really is something else. This is slamming into reverse the whole trend of British government policy, that is, privatising state-owned assets. What we're having here is a public stake in some of the country's biggest commercial banks. It is a pretty dramatic and extraordinary move.
Okay, our European correspondent, Stephen Beard, in London. Thanks a lot, Stephen.
Okay, Renita.
Shares in Europe are tanking. London's FTSE is down more than 4%. Germany's DAX is seeing a loss of more than 6% right now. In Japan, sellers drag the Nikkei down 9.4%, the biggest one-day percentage fall since the crash of October 1987. The Dow fell more than 500 points yesterday. It stands at 9,447, its lowest level in 5 years. If you're looking for some kind of silver lining, oil is one place to look. Oil prices are around $87 a barrel. Few things are more sacred to investors than quarterly dividends. After all, they account for more than a third of shareholders' long-term gains. But now dividends are becoming victims of the credit crisis, too. Bank of America and Citigroup recently cut their quarterly payouts in half. Marketplace's Janet Babin reports from North Carolina Public Radio.
Companies don't like to cut dividends. It raises a red flag about their balance sheet. But with money so tight, firms are doing what they got to do. Howard Silverblad, a senior index analyst at Standard & Poor's, he says companies are holding the line on dividends or slashing them altogether. They want to have cash on hand just in case they can't get it anywhere else.
In all this year, within the S&P 500, just to begin with, over $24 billion in dividend reductions. This is unheard of, and companies that were basically considered blue chips.
Dividend suspensions hurt investors, especially retirees who may depend on the checks for income. If you're not getting that cash each quarter, you may have to sell part of your stock. But if a firm's cut its dividend, chances are its stock price will be lower, too. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the American Public Transportation Association, committed to helping Americans save on gas and become energy independent at publictransportation.org. And by the Medtronic Foundation, letting listeners know that October is Sudden Cardiac Awareness Month. More about SCA risks and treatment at hearthelp.com. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
Hey, there is a lot of finger pointing going on these days about the causes of the financial crisis. Commentator Will Wilkinson weighs in with his thoughts.
Is our current financial crisis the product of too little government regulation or too much? Advanced financial markets don't exist in a vacuum. They operate in a framework of law that defines ownership and sets acceptable terms of exchange. Some of these markets are entirely creatures of government. The market in Treasury securities, for example, is key to Washington's ability to control the money supply. And the market in mortgage-backed securities, ground zero of the crisis, began in earnest when the government under Lyndon Johnson started pooling home loans into securities and selling them off to investors. We all know the current mess was triggered by a speculative bubble in home prices, and the origins of the bubble are familiar: easy money, meaty tax deductions for homeowners, and relaxed lending standards. But let's not forget the market for mortgage-backed securities. It took the highly risky form it did because the government created entities like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and gave them certain regulatory advantages. Government policy created market incentives that helped lead us toward disaster. One lesson of the crisis is that ours is hardly a free market system. The American economy is a Byzantine amalgam of market and state institutions enmeshed in a thicket of regulation. When part of it goes bust, it's too easy to pin the whole blame on market failure. A market is only as stable as the regulations that define it. We don't need more regulation or less. We need better regulation. But who will give it to us? Technocrats like Ben Bernanke and Henry Paulson? Congress? Our fearless lawmakers on Capitol Hill did very little to alter Paulson's initial 2.5-page plan, other than to add 450 pages of pork. The real question now is not whether we need more regulation or less. It's whether our political process can deliver the right regulation. I'm not getting my hopes up.
Will Wilkinson is a research fellow at the Cato Institute. Find a link to his blog at marketplace.org. While you're there, share your thoughts on the crisis. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.